Greetings, my friends, and welcome back to Scripture and Prophecy. I'm Sean, your host, and the website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. And today we are finishing up the book of Revelation. And we're going to read chapters 21 and 22, and I don't have a whole lot of commentary to give. We'll mostly just be reading. And I will share some thoughts with you. Basically, what we're going to be seeing taking place is the new heaven and the new earth. You know, all things made new. Things being finished. This is taking place after the thousand-year reign of Christ. And after Satan is thrown into the lake of fire, and the judgments are done, and the books have been opened, and those who are written in the book of life will enter into this new kingdom, and those who are not will not. And to give some very specific things about the type of people that won't be entering. And we need to, when we read this Bible, when we read God's word, we need to take it for what it says. So many people interpret this Bible through their already preconceived doctrine instead of letting the Bible interpret your doctrine. And so listen closely to what the word actually says, and I pray this morning that it blesses you. So without further delay, let's begin. Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Let's please note one thing. There's a lot of people within churchianity who think they can be whoremongers, who think they can be idolaters, who do all these things in this list and think they're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And God is saying no. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, pronounce that right here, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, which could also be translated as drug sorcery or pharmakia, and idolaters and all liars are going to have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Moving on to verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials of the seven last plagues. And he talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and 12 gates. And at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 80, and the length is large as a breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, and 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, and the second sapphire, and the third chalcedony, and the fourth emerald, and the fifth sardox, and the sixth sardis, and the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, and the ninth topaz, and the tenth chrysopharsus, and the 11th ajacanth, and the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure as gold, as it were transparent glass. Now, you can find out a lot more information about this by going to the book of Ezekiel and doing a study, really between the chapters of 40 and 48, but maybe more. For the sake of time, I didn't want to go through and read all that stuff out of Ezekiel, or we could be here for 2 hours. But if you're curious and you have more questions, you want to know more about this, you could go and reference the book of Ezekiel alongside chapter 21 and chapter 22 of Revelation. Also note, the 12 gates are the 12 tribes of Israel. This is why it's important to understand the podcast that I did last week, where I addressed the question, who really is Israel, and who is the new covenant really for? You need to understand that to understand end time prophecy and just about everything else. Without that, you're really blind towards what the Word of God is teaching and showing to us. And so if you haven't listened to that podcast that I did last week called something along the lines of Who's the New Covenant For, I highly recommend you go listen to it. And then it may make more sense to you why the gates to enter into the new city are actually named after the 12 tribes of Israel and have the names of the 12 Jewish disciples of Jesus, Yeshua. It's very, very important to understand these things. Moving on. Verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Again, he makes the point that those who do abominable things, those who lie, deceive, they're not going in. Only those written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, chapter 22, which is only 21 verses. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yield her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. It's important to note that just here in the last few verses, I think three times now, it's told us that there's not going to be any night there. Apparently, God really wants us to know that there'll be absolutely no darkness, no night. There's not even a need for a sun or for a moon, because God himself, Yehovah, and his son, Jesus, Yeshua, they will be the light. They will be the light. There'll be no darkness there. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of holy prophets sent his angel to show us unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. In other words, blessed are those who, you know, chew on this, who study this, who keep it in their hearts and in their minds. Verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of the brethren of the prophets, and of them which keep the saying of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for thy time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Again, note, what you do matters. What does the word say? It says, blessed are they that do his, who's the his, that's Elohim. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Why? That they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates into the city. Because remember, whoremongers and idolaters and liars will not be entering in. Verse 15 goes on to say, for without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. That's the third time, my friends, that it's told us this since we've been reading. God is making it very clear that the obedient will be entering in, not those who walk in filth, who participate in drug sorcery and pharmakia, not those who are whoring, not those who are murderers, not those who are idolaters. and definitely not those who love and make lies. He really has a thing against people who lie and deceive. Verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. I must also point out that in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah gives a description of Satan, of Lucifer. I believe he calls him son of the morning. Unfortunately, I didn't write down that scripture, but I'm sure you can find it easily through just a quick search. What I want you to note is that Jesus is the bright and morning star. However, if you have an NIV, a non-inspired perversion of the Bible, in that passage where Isaiah talks about Lucifer, he calls Lucifer the bright and morning star. Just one more reason for you to move away from that translation if you have not already. Verse 17. And the spirit of the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testify these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And that concludes our study in the book of Revelation. It's been fun to go through this study again. And I think we're going to make this a yearly thing where we do this study starting in January. It took us nearly 6 months to go through it, going one chapter a week. Or when did I start this? I don't even know. But it's taken us a while, hasn't it? Definitely a few months. But it's always a blessing, and I always get a new perspective and a new view, and usually before I'm even done with the complete study, I've already come up with a new perspective on something that I had just taught or read weeks before. And so it's important to go through this book often, and I highly recommend you get you a Bible or get you eSword that has some reference, not notes, not commentary necessarily, but, you know, reference that takes you back to other scriptures so you can see where it's coming from. Because so many times, just like there's lots of references back to the book of Ezekiel found in Revelation 21 and 22, and that's why I said you could go back there to do a deeper study. I pray that this is blessing you, friends, and if it is, I could use your support. We have about 10 people that are subscribed as Patreon out of 8,000 plus subscribers. Actually, it's closer to 10,000 if you count the pod, if you count iTunes. So out of 10,000 people, we have 10 that are subscribed through Patreon, and we have about 3 to 5 people on average who donate through PayPal. So 15 people out of 10,000 people are the sole contributors, are the ones who keep this thing afloat, and are the ones who are blessing this. And I just want to thank those of you who do that. It makes a big difference. It helps me and my family out a lot. Aside from just helping me in general, it also you know, covers the cost of what it takes to host and do all this work. And it may seem like there's just a 30-minute podcast and it's not a big deal, but there's a lot of preparation that's involved, a lot of study that's involved, hours of work every week that's involved to make this podcast happen, and the resources and the equipment and everything, and what it costs to host and all that. So thank you so much to those of you who've continued to bless this. And, you know, I know I've been really, teaching some things that are not taught in the church. And I know that's been really, really difficult for people to comprehend and to hear. But I'm just reading exactly what's out of God's word. And I know it to be true. It's very, very clear, in the word. And sometimes we got to break off all that old doctrine, all that old teaching that's just been false. It's just false. Flat out false. And when we read the word of God for ourselves, instead of being indoctrinated by one of 4,000 denominations, I think I said 300 on the last podcast. I meant to say 3,000. It's actually closer to 4,000. So it's between 3,000 and 4,000 denominations out there. That's a lot of disagreement. That's a lot of man's doctrines and man's laws, just like Judaism has. And we just need to stick with the one thing, and that is the Word of God. Starting next week, we're going to pick up where we left off in the Gospel according to John. And we're going to start working through that. I'll have to go and see where we stopped, but that's where we'll be picking up next Tuesday. And then this weekend sometime, unfortunately, I can't give you I wish I could say it's always going to come out on Friday morning, or I wish I could say it's always going to come out on Thursday morning or Saturday morning, but it just, depends on when I can get to it, because I don't want to rush it, and I like to do the podcast with my best, not with what's left over or just a little bit of time here. So it will be out before Shabbat. How about that? The podcast will be at the end of the week, just like it always is, and it'll be out before Shabbat. Ideally, I try to release it Friday morning. And this week, we're going to be talking more about, where God says, if you do this, I will do this. If you don't do this, I will do this. And talking about what that looks like and what He has promised to His people. And then, again, if you haven't checked out last week's podcast, that would be very helpful for you to understand where we're going. That's all I got for you this morning. May you be blessed, and keep this word in your heart, like the Bible says here, in that book of Revelation. Keep those things in your heart. It's going to pay off. It's going to be beneficial to you in the very near future. Let me just tell you, this information that you have, because you've went through this study, even, I'm sure a lot of it I've gotten wrong, but the words, if they're in your heart, are going to pay off big time when you start to see these things take place. Peace and grace be with all of you, and until next time, God bless.